Happy Sabbath again. And again, it is a beautiful Sabbath morning that the Lord has allowed us to be here. How many of you are thankful for Friday evening? Okay, that's just about every hand, isn't it? How many of you take that? Oh, thank you, Lord. It is the beginning of Sabbath. It is a day of physical rest, and then it is a day of spiritual rest. It is a day that we can commune with those who are of like mind. I don't know what he could have done more to give us as a blessing, but to add that seventh day on and make it a day of rest. How great God is to us. And how much he understands our need. He understands the physical body. He understands, because he made us, didn't he? He is our creator. He made us. So he knows just how much stress and strain and aggravation one can take in 6 days. And at the end of those 6 days, we need just to come apart and rest. You know, it amazes me, though, when I'm on my way back home, riding around town after I leave here on Sabbath. And I see people out just rushing and running, trying to do this and trying to get. And I'm saying to myself, don't you know that there is a better way to do things? Don't you know that you can come aside and rest on this Sabbath day? And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be taking this last day message to the world. And we can't take it to the world, but we can take it to Achan. So we need to be getting these lessons out that the Lord has blessed us to have come in, the request to come in. And we need to be making sure that these lessons get out so that one can tell another and another and another. And before too long, the message can get around Achan. And then some people will know somebody somewhere else, and the message can get around there. And before we know it, it has gotten to the ends of the earth. And what happens when it gets to the end of the earth? Jesus is going to come. Are you looking forward to that? Yes. Amen. Juanita, you said that you and... Am I going to put you on the spot? You and Lillian had an experience with somebody. You want to share that with us? Stand up, please. Amen. We just appreciate that. And we're going to be having more of these because more of these lessons are going to be getting out and we're going to have more experiences coming in. But, yes, Shirley. Oh, we have extra. The Lord has blessed us with extra, so we can have some more. Yes. Well, we don't want anybody who wants a lesson to be turned away, even if I have to go to Charlotte and get one. All right. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, again for the opportunity that you give us to come together. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to praise you. Now we come that you have given me this message to deliver, and I ask that it will be your Holy Spirit who is speaking, and it will be your Holy Spirit who is opening the spiritual eyes and ears to hear and to see that you have presented us today. And we will be careful to give you the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. How many of you consider yourselves grateful people? Yes. All of us are grateful. Most of us would probably classify ourselves that way, especially during this Thanksgiving time, when we typically take inventory of our blessings. But listen honestly as you pray. Do you find that your thank yous quickly give way to a list of requests? Yeah. Yeah, I start off thanking, and then before I know it, I'm asking God for this and I'm asking God for that. So I have to check myself. All of us have to do that. Psalms 92 verse 1 tells us, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." Now, it was a lesson God had been trying to teach his people for a long time. Shortly after the Israelites were freed from Egyptian bondage, he issued commandments for how they were to live. And these commandments included a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Leviticus 22:29, the Lord is speaking, and I'm reading from the Clear Word. I think most of us understand that the Clear Word is a paraphrase, but sometimes the Clear Word puts it clearer than the other translations do. But the Lord is speaking, and he says, "When you offer a special gift of thanksgiving to me, do it of your own free will in such a way that it will be accepted." Why would the Lord be concerned about the Hebrews' gratitude? For 400 years, they were slaves in Egypt, where they were surrounded by heathens and exposed to that country's false religions. Now, after their supernatural deliverance across the Red Sea, suddenly they were free. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6:20-23. And there is a question posed, and then there is a response given. The question, "And when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you?" And the response, "Then shall thy say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed us signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware to our fathers." The Lord was establishing a new nation, and he wanted to institute one premise, and that premise was that he is the only God, and all of their praise that they gave was due to him. In addition, he wanted to protect them from intermingling and falling into idolatry. This would threaten their well-being, but it would also threaten their witness to the world. And so it was God's desire to get the young nation's attention fixed on him. This is one reason he required thank offerings. 1 Chronicles 23:30-31, and again, I'm reading from the Clear Word, tells of some of the duties of the priests. And I'm quoting, "Every morning and evening they were to begin and end the day by giving thanks and praising the Lord. Also, when the special offerings were burned on the Sabbath, at the new moon, and at other appointed festivals, they were to praise the Lord." In carrying out this commandment, the priest stayed focused upon the one who was their creator, deliverer, provider, and guide. Their sacrifices were also frequent visible reminders to the community that they all owed their freedom, their life, and therefore their devotion to the miracle-working Jehovah. Now, God wanted the Israelites to thank him. So just as the Israelites were to recall the Lord's blessings and offer thanks and offer thanks each morning and evening, so are we today to follow the same pattern. It doesn't say that we should have those morning sacrifices and the evening sacrifices, but we need to have a sacrifice of thanksgiving, morning, evening, noonday, whenever the occasion arises. We should be giving thanks to God because God is good to us. We hear so much that is going on in the world today, and we see so many people in privation, and we look at our lives and we have to say, thank you, Lord, because you are good to us. No matter what is currently going on in our lives, we all have blessings, and God deserves our appreciation. For example, he created us, and he has given each of us the breath of life. He cares for us. He helps us. He shows us his love. Most of all, he sent his son to die in our place and to deliver us from the power of sin. Knowing that we will have an eternity in his presence should make our hearts absolutely overflow with gratitude. I mentioned some reasons that we need to give thanks, but let's go a little deeper and talk about some special reasons we need to give thanks. What motivates us to express gratitude to God? We often remember to thank someone when they give us a present. So we need to be thankful to God when he gives us things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks in all things, which includes difficult times as well as happier circumstances. I could go around the room and ask each one of you, have you been through some difficulties? And each one of you would respond in a positive way, that we have had our crucibles as we are studying in our Sabbath school lesson. But even at those times, we need to be giving thanks. Give thanks in all things. When Matthew Henry's wallet was stolen by a thief, of course, this is what he wrote afterwards. He says, let me be thankful. First, because he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. So even in difficult circumstances, we can find a reason to be thankful. There are a number of reasons, though, why no matter what we are going through, it is truly to give thanks, truly good to give thanks to the Lord. The first reason that I have chosen is stated in Psalms 107, verse 1, which tells us to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Even though life may be difficult, our hope and joy remain because we serve the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient God of love. A second reason that we should give thanks is that our gratitude magnifies the Lord. Psalms 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. He is glorified when we acknowledge his goodness and thank him for his continual blessings. God is also pleased when, even in difficult times, we obediently thank him. A third reason, thankfulness reinforces our faith. You know, sometimes we lose a little bit of faith. We don't believe and trust as much as we need to. If we are thankful, it reinforces our faith. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 4 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things. And we can talk about this from over the Thanksgiving holiday, all of those good things that we had to eat. He satisfies our mouth with these good things. All of these things that God does for us reinforces our faith to him. And we need, the song says, Connie, to count our blessings, count them one, name them one by one. This is another reason that we need to be thankful and that we need to praise the Lord. One of the biggest reasons that we need to praise the Lord is because of God's forgiveness. Imagine an old rundown shack. The windows are boarded up and covered with graffiti. Inside, decades of neglect have left the wood floors warped and rotten. Paint is peeling off the walls like a bad sunburn, and there is a strong smell of must and mildew. Now, is this a place in which you would want to live? But Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, that all of us have become, all of us are unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are as filthy garments. We are like that old rundown shack before God comes to us, before we accept Jesus and he cleans up our lives. But think about this. Despite the fact that we were dirty and filled with sin, God chose to intercede on our behalf and save us from the spiritual wrecking ball that is Satan. The Lord could have left us to our own devices. He could have forsaken us just like that abandoned shack. But the God of the universe, who is fit to occupy a mansion more glorious than man could ever build, chose to send his son to live in and through us. And I think you can say amen to that. It's easy to be grateful when we receive something we have desired for a long time. But God wants us to express thanksgiving in everything, meditate on his goodness, his faithfulness, his sovereignty, and sure promises, and offer him your thanks. You heard in your ears, read by that Joan read Isaiah 12. There are only six verses, but these six verses overflow with joy. It is a song of praise to God. And what is it all about? It is about salvation. It is about what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. In order to understand the full import, we need to go back to chapter 11, verse 1, to find out who is being talked about in that chapter 12. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots." Now, who is this rod and who is this branch? You know who it is, don't you? Who is it? It's only one person fits the bill. He is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. The prophet anciently sang his praise, and so I sing it today. And you and all of us should be singing his praise. We should be basking in the reality of his grace. For he is the abundance of that grace, and for the joy that fills our hearts because of it, we need to be telling everybody that Jesus is the reason for our salvation, and he is why we are alive and thanking him today. Now that we have reasons to praise God and be thankful to Him, how do we express our gratitude? What are some ways that we can tell others or let others know that we are grateful? When we receive a present, we ordinarily thank the giver, don't we? We say thank you, or we either write a little note. This should be true of divine gifts as well. And yet, thanking God may not come so naturally to us because we live in a culture that in many ways is ungrateful and takes for granted what we have. In such an atmosphere of entitlement, it is easy to let thoughts drift toward what we want, and instead of expressing appreciation for what we have. One way to give thanks is with sound, and that's what I'm doing this morning. You are hearing me give thanks. So we can express it by telling others that we are thankful for God and why we are thankful for God. And we can thank Him, too, for what He has done for us. Jonah 2:9 says that, "But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you." So we can sacrifice, or we can praise Him, we can thank Him through song. And one of the things that I cannot do is sing, because I'm tone deaf and I have a tin ear, but I can give Him a joyful noise. And I appreciate those musicians among us, Gene and Connie, and the willing ones, right? Yes, y'all do such a beautiful job. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to thank Him with sound. A second way that we can give thanks, to God, is through living holy lives. As a response to God's goodness and faithfulness, we should honor Him with our obedience. Paul expressed it this way: "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And of course, you know, this is Romans 12, verse 1. Live holy lives. He has given each of us gifts and talents, resources and opportunities, so that we can take at least 104 Bible studies to those who have sent in requests, so that 101.9 FM WASD can saturate the airwaves in Aiken and surrounding areas with the Three Angels message, so that we can build a sanctuary out there on Highway Number 1. All of these things that we are doing, we are living holy lives and showing others that we are thankful. And we could go on down the list of all of the things that all of us have been doing all of the time to praise God and show that He is first and primary in our lives. For the Christian, every day of the year should be a time of thanksgiving. But on this holiday weekend, officially set aside for giving thanks, why not take the opportunity to reflect on God's countless blessings? His blessings of forgiveness, of salvation, of life, of faith, His goodness, His magnificence. Let this weekend and these days be a time when we truly commit to placing Him first in our lives. Take some time this Thanksgiving weekend to express appreciation to the Father for His many blessings. Most of all, praise Him for the gift of His Son and let others know why you are so grateful. Then for the remainder of the year, think of ways to demonstrate your thankfulness to him. Let us pray. I thank you, Father. I thank you for being who you are. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his amazing sacrifice on our behalf. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the gifts that he has bestowed on us individually and on us as a church. I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for your remnant church and for the last day message that you have given to us to take to the world. I thank you for your worldwide church. I thank you for this little church in Aiken, for its dedicated members. I thank you for the work which you have entrusted to our hands. I thank you for the leaders and followers, everyone individually and corporately. I thank you for being in our midst today and accepting the praises of our lips and hearts. Continue to keep your promise of never leaving us or forsaking us. And it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.